Welcome back, everyone, for this week's Smoky Mountain Wrestling Podcast. This is Smoky Mountain Wrestling, episode number 37 from October the 10th of 1992. We are still in Hancock County High School in Sneedville, Tennessee. It is myself, Mike Mills, along with Doc Turner and Hardbody Harper from Wildcat Sports and Entertainment, the greatest wrestling manager there is right now, not named Paul Heyman. Harper, how you doing this week, man?
Doing all right, Brian. Sitting here about to kick some podcast ass.
Yeah, we just we might be a little gassed. We just actually cut a patron-only episode where it's not for the faint of heart. Plenty of cussing and talking bad about women. Just leave it at that. All of the single dudes out there will have a blast with this patron episode. But anyway, Doc, how you doing, man?
I just took a big meaty shit, so I'm feeling a lot lighter and ready to roll.
That's nice.
That's great. I was about to say the same thing, Harper. That's real nice. That's real classy. Harper, I want to congratulate you on last week and this week, though, as we've recorded 36 and 37. You are dealing with a broken headset, and yet you have found a way to not have it make a lot of noise, which I got to tell you, I greatly appreciate because that helps me out with the editing of the show. So thank you. Your new headset will be there shortly. We appreciate it. All right. On to things with the show. We are still in Hancock County High School, Doc, Sneedville, Tennessee. We gave the demographics of the location on last week's episode, episode 37. So if you are listening to this one and do not know or want some more information about Sneedville, go back to the previous episode and listen to all that at the very beginning. The first 10 minutes, we have a great time. However, I will say this. At the very beginning of this episode is some blonde-headed kid screaming into the camera, and I know that is a preview or look back at Hardbody Harper when he was a kid. Harper, did you notice that at the very beginning?
But they got a whole bunch of them.
Rambunctious little white kids.
Yeah, just a bunch of little white trash kids. Bruh, they got one kid walking around that don't even got a goddamn shirt on.
That one? It looks like fucking Huckleberry fucking Finn or some shit about to go fishing with some old black guy or something.
No, that was back then. He's going to go down and work on the still or cook up another batch of meth.
Yeah, he has no shirt on.
Nope. Shirt on. I told you guys last week that Ronnie Garvin Town thing would be a big deal for these people. They can't even clothe themselves.
I'm going to get in trouble for what I'm about to say. But I'm going to say it. No, this is honest to God true. So last year when I went to Oklahomania, Doc, I told you the story. You may not remember. Last year when I went to Oklahomania, there was Jeff Jarrett and Karen Jarrett were there. And God, I hope I don't get in trouble for saying this, but fuck it. It is what it is, because it happened. There were witnesses. So I was Arturo, who is the show sponsor or for the flagship show on Thursdays. He's got all the wrestling memorabilia. So he was like the main person there selling like old wrestling things and for people that wanted to, you know, come by and buy things. And so I walk in this is the pre-thing that they had before the big show where it was like the autograph signing and everything. And so Jarrett's are there. Everybody's there. Corny's there. Jim Ross is there. I mean, they're all behind these tables. So I'm just walking around. I'm talking to Arturo. And this kid runs up to the booth that Arturo's working from the Wrestling Palace with all his wrestling memorabilia. And the dude was doing great, man. He's selling all kind of souvenirs and stuff. And this kid's got no shirt on and no shoes. Little
God
white kid.
Damn.
Hold on.
But he's at the pre-match VIP section thing.
Well, no, it's not the VIP. It's the autograph session. I don't know what they called it. It was like the autograph session. Everybody was at this thing. I mean, Dijak was there. All the Ring of Honor talent that was on the show. The Hardys were there. Sting was there. And it's a big open area.
You're missing my point.
Oh, I see what you're saying. So I got you. I see what you're saying. So. This kid's running around. He's got no shirt and no shoes on. So I go over there and I'm start talking to Arturo. And he's talking about, he's like, man, I'm glad, you know, Jerry Bostick, you know, hired me for this. And, man, we're doing great. We're selling a lot of stuff. And this kid runs over and he runs off. And Arturo goes, you know who that is? I go, who, the little white kid with no shoes and no shirt? And he goes, yeah, you know who that is? I don't have a fucking clue, dude. He goes, that's Kurt Angle's son. I go, what? I go, what? He goes, that's Jeff Jarrett and Kurt Angle's son. Oh, the one with no shoes and no shirt? And he goes, yeah. I said, huh. Well, I get back to work on Monday because Doc couldn't come. He had a family emergency. He was supposed to come with me to Oklahomania, but he couldn't. I go,
I
Doc.
I thought I was banned, you dumbass.
Yeah. No, you no. They ended up letting you go, but then you couldn't make it because something came up. I can't remember what it was. So, long story short, I get back to work. I start telling that to Doc. Doc goes, you know, there was a little black kid running around with no shirt and no shoes on. Can you imagine how quick he would have got kicked out of there? I'm like, I think you got a point, Doc. It's a
I wonder how many times Tim Horner heard about a black man getting lynched, and it was no big deal until it was him, right?
No, I don't know. But anyway, I just had to tell that story when Harper was talking about this little kid running around with no shirt and no shoes.
Nobody cares about the hillbillies of Oklahoma. We care about the hillbillies here in Hancock County High, Sneedville, Tennessee. Maybe we should start the episode 37. How about that, sir?
There you go. So, we are into the episode now. Dutch and Bob Cottle kick things off. They set the table. We're going to get an update on Tim Horner's condition after he was split open by the Dirty White Boy. An update is also coming from Orndorff and Garvin. That whole situation that Harper said he was tired of last week. And then Dutch Mantell tells us that his special guest on Down and Dirty will be Bullet Bob Armstrong and Primetime Brian Lee. Evidently, Bullet Bob has received a new letter from the Stalker, and we're going to get that update. Dutch also has a stack of dream match letters that he says he may or may not read on air this week. Bob Cottle throws us to the ring for the opening match. Doc, what are your thoughts on the opening segment of the show?
Not much so far. Let's get to the ring.
All right. Harper, same for you?
Yes.
All right. We open the show. It's Robbie Eagle versus Killer Kyle. I have a prediction for this match. Killer Kyle is going to win. Okay, on to the match. Cornette comes out immediately to be on commentary. They've done this a lot in the last 2 weeks. Cornette reiterates from last week's episode that the Rock and Roll are still crying over the fact that his mother's attorney will not allow the Rock and Roll to have another tag title match. Cornette also complains about the fact that these hillbillies have no air conditioning in the building. At one point, Cornette says he's sure these mental midgets wrote in some interesting dream matches in the dream match contest. And Corny, of course, never stops insulting the fans in Smoky Mountain. And then the last thing, before I throw it over to you two, Cottle and Cornette also dropped the first reference to Smoky Mountain Thanksgiving Thunder that's coming up. It's crazy when you consider we're only 6 to 7 weeks away from Thanksgiving Thunder at this point in Smoky Mountain. So I thought that was just interesting. 6 to 7 minute match overall. Robbie Eagle takes a beat down. He didn't get much offense in at all. Doc, I'll throw it to you first. Your thoughts on the commentary and then of Cornette's commentary and then of the match and anything else you saw and heard.
Corny issued one line here I thought was awesome. We've got no reservations about fighting Indians.
I didn't have it in my notes, but you're right. He did throw that out there.
What a great line. I also had that we've got a new finisher from Kyle, the Asphyxiator.
Yes.
He did that on after he put out the rub out. And then, you know, this is our first mention of we've got the Thanksgiving Thunder Tour and the November to Remember. So we've got now we spoke last week about there's kind of a lull coming out of the summer event. So now we've got another event that we're probably going to start building to. So I would imagine the things start to pick up pretty quick here. And then I have a question for you two bump takers here. How does Killer Kyle keep his shirt tucked in while he's working a match?
Harper, I have no clue, man. I've never had a tucked in shirt.
I guess because he don't move around too much. I don't know.
He moves around enough.
Yeah.
Is it a long shirt, maybe? I don't know. Yeah.
I don't know.
You got me there, Doc. I don't know if I really have a good answer for you. I mean, is that enough? Just does checking. That satisfy you?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay, just
I can't make
man,
you know
man.
Something. I can't make you know something you don't know.
Oh, well, that's
so
true.
I learned that a long time ago with you.
Okay.
I'm more upset with myself for even engaging you in conversation than I am with you for being a dumbass.
Okay. Harper, what did you have from that opening match?
Well, when was the last time you saw someone win with a waist lock?
Well, it's not only a waist lock, but it's an asphyxiator.
It's the asphyxiator, dude.
Yeah, that's his finisher. It's an asphyxiator. Yeah, it's not a waist lock, Hopper. Come on, man.
Okay.
Yeah. Doc, your thoughts on the first plug for Smoky Mountain Wrestling Thanksgiving Thunder?
I can't wait. Because it's a week-long tour, and it's over. They make Thanksgiving happen all week long. It's their Thanksgiving week, so like birthday month. So yeah, it's probably gonna be hot, man. I bet some blood gets spilled.
I'm not gonna spoil things, but this is a question that Marty Howell asked us on the flagship show a few weeks back or a couple months ago regarding how many times the Rock and Roll and Heavenly Bodies wrestled that week.
212.
I'll leave it at that. They wrestled a lot, so let's just say that. Okay, we go to the next segment. It is a Bob Caudle promo and Tim. I'm sorry. It is a Tim Horner promo with Bob Caudle and.
I'd rather it be a Bob Caudle promo.
You okay? All right, I'm gonna play it for everyone right here.
All right, fans, last week as the Dirty White Boy and Ron Wright were gloating over what they had done to Tim Horner, Horner came to the desk and a fight ensued. As you're going to see here, the Dirty White Boy got a bottle from Ron Wright and busted it over the head of Tim Horner. We have a taped interview with White Lightning about his condition, so let's hear that right now. Here's Tim Horner.
You know, Dirty White Boy, first you try to hang me, then you bust a beer bottle over my head, and the doctors say, well, you can't wrestle for 2 weeks, maybe even 3 weeks. Well, the heck with that. I don't care what no doctor says. I don't care what anybody says. I've got a couple of title matches with you, Dirty White Boy, coming up, and there ain't no way I'm going to miss that. I wouldn't stay out for nothing. Let me tell you something, Dirty White Boy. When you dance, you got to play the fiddler. When you mess with a bull, you get the horns. And when you mess with White Lightning, you're going to get struck, and you're looking at the guy that's going to do the striking, because I'm going to stretch you out. If I got to pull your head off your neck, that's exactly what I'm going to do. Understand what I'm saying?
Hey.
Jesus Christ. Hopper, Heroes his voice. Go first.
He rose his fucking voice rose up.
Yeah, imagine that. That really did it for me. Fuck me.
Well, Doc, good for him.
Yeah, good for him, Hopper, right? I guarantee you this. Horner's never going to get a job at the WWE Performance Center with as a promo coach.
No.
Oh boy, Doc, you got anything?
I don't care what no doctor says.
That wasn't even halfway the worst thing that happened.
Oh no, but it's just funny because I mean I could just see the double negative. Speak. I just my note here was he tried to fire up at the end, and it was shitty.
Well, he tried. Damn it.
He right. tried.
At least he was aware that
let's
he
give him,
needed
Let's
to.
Give him a participation trophy while we're at it. Okay. But okay. He tried. Okay, here's my notes. When you dance, you got to pay the fiddler, okay? When you mess with the bull, you get the horns. When you mess with White Lightning, you're going to get struck.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, I can't wait for the heel in this feud, the Dirty White Boy, to beat the living shit out of this dude. Said it last week, and I'll say it again. He's throwing out taglines like he's on Monday Night Raw, and I just can't do it anymore. Anything else before I move to the next promo, which we got Ron Wright and Dirty White Boy coming up. So what about that? Y'all got anything else, or you want me to get to the gold?
Maybe we should keep moving.
Okay, offer you?
Yes.
Keep it moving. Here we go.
All right, fans, with us right now, here is the Dirty White Boy and, of course, his manager, Mr. Ron Wright. Ron Wright, I've never seen anything happen like last week. The bottle right across the head of Tim Horner by the Dirty White Boy. A concussion now from Horner, but he says against doctor's orders, he's going to wrestle anyway.
Now, let me tell you something. I can't help what he done. You know what really happened out here? Horner come out here. We was out here celebrating and having a little party over my life being spared where Horner jumped on me and tried to kill me. And the man Horner grabbed that bottle and swung it to Dirty White Boy, hit me in the head with it. Now the doctor's done went and told me where that glass got down in my cataracts, where I've had cataract surgery. I'm probably going to go blind, lose my eyesight, and I'll be a blind manager out here. I'm already crippled in a wheelchair, and I'm going to be blind now. This over the tactics that Tim Horner come out here and tried to do on me.
And Dirty White Boy, we did not see it that way. And, of course, Horner, he says he's ready anyway. He's going to be following you wherever you might go.
Well, that's fine and dandy. You know, I understand Tim Horner's got a concussion. Right. Well, that's fine, concussion or not, punk. You step in the ring against me, and I'm going to finish the job I should have started a long, long time ago, because you're getting underneath my hide, Horner. And I will take care of you. And something else that I'm going to take out of your hide, and that's $2,500. Money don't grow on trees, Horner. You understand me? This man can use that money a lot more than you or anybody else. And just for that, I'm taking $2,500 out of your butt.
All right, Smoky Mountain Commissioner, of course, Bob Armstrong, fined the Dirty White Boy $2,500 for what happened last week. And that's what he was talking about, Paz. We're about ready for action right now. Let's go to the ring.
Doc, you go first.
So did we just see in 1992 Ron Wright invented alternative facts?
That's a good point. I didn't think about it. I think you but got now, something right there.
But now, poor Ron, brother Ron now has cataracts.
Every time so think he can't top himself, he does.
He's got arthritis recently. He's got the heart problems. He can't walk. I don't know if Ron's going to make it. And this seems like a good time that maybe we need to repost that P.O. box and see if we can get some donations in.
Which, by the way, if you haven't heard the Jim Cornette Experience, Jim answered the question. $13 was sent into Ron Wright when the P.O. box was posted in like episode 10 or 11 or whenever it was. Just letting that out there. You're right, Doc. I think he invented alternative facts right there. He just didn't call it alternative facts. Harper, what'd you think about the promo?
I think a white boy sounded kind of facious. I mean, kind of like a face kind of, huh?
I think you hate Tim Horner's terrible promo so bad, I think you're probably
right.
Think
that's right. What it is?
Yeah. I do. I mean, he's not really saying like baby face lines. It's just that, you know, because think about it. He was fined $2,500 for what happened. He's not happy about it. Ron Wright's out there lying right before talking about he got glass in his eye, which all of a sudden now Ron Wright's got cataracts and he's going to go blind. He got a bad hip. He's going to be in a wheelchair and blind now. If it couldn't get worse, the next thing is going to be is he's going to be going deaf. But I think that's what it was. I think we hate Tim Horner so much now that it's like Dirty White Boy is the face to us. Horner's done such a bad job.
I guarantee you that that's where I'm coming from on this.
Yeah. I just thought this was fabulous and loved every bit of it. Again, Cornette said it on the JCE when I was on with him. He said, man, Ron Wright and I think he said Ron Wright and Dirty White Boy's backs were hurting from carrying Horner through this feud. And I have to 100% agree. Doc, would you agree with that statement he made?
100%.
Yes. Unreal. So we go to the next match. It is the Dirty White Boy versus Ben Jordan. It was right after the promo. It's a shame. I've said this before. It's a shame that WWF made this guy T.O. Hopper. I say it because Dirty White Boy makes a simple jobber match entertaining. He gets a quick win on Jordan, but I just thought that the guy just knows what he's doing in there. He's a great heel. He can bump. His bumping ability is fabulous. Very underrated in wrestling if you don't know who he is. Doc, any thoughts from the match?
DW is on a roll. He's hitting good promos. He's carrying Horner. He's the champ. You got to say right now, you might say that Robert Fuller and Morton are kind of the class of the promotion. He's at the top end of it for a reason. And it's just entertaining, and he's dominant right now.
Yeah, agree. Your thoughts, Harper, on the match, if you got any.
Speaking of the top heels, what happened to Buddy Landell? Is he still around?
He got fired.
He lost.
Oh, shit.
He got fired. Don't worry. Spoiler alert. Hit the fast forward button if you worry. But spoiler alert, Buddy Landell will be back.
Thank God.
Yeah, he'll be back. Buddy will be back.
Hey, Buddy, I got a question.
Back. Yeah.
If we're going to talk about long lost people, where's Hector Guerrero been?
Yeah. I was thinking the same damn thing.
He's been missing. Hector's been gone. I don't know where Hector's at.
We ain't seen Barry Horowitz in months.
Oh, man.
That was with Dutch.
Who are you talking about, Carl Stiles?
The guy that seemed like he was a little Special.
Little special. Yeah, Carl Stiles has been gone too. Yeah, they're out of there. They're out of there. We only got an hour to fill, man. Only the headliners can make it, except if your name's Tim Horner. Fuck. Okay. We go to the next segment. You know, we've been talking about this dream match thing, and I've been skipping over the rules of it all. So, but what I do have here is Bob Cottle throwing it to Dutch Mantel to read us what some of the dream matches that are being sent in. So I'm not looking forward to it, especially if these dream matches aren't gimmicked, but I do want to play this segment of Dutch reading a dream match that was sent in by a fan. So here it is.
Don't miss it. If it comes near you, be sure you're there. And that's some of the letters, huh, Dutch?
Are some of the letters. Wait a minute. I'm just going to read a few of them here. Right? You know, Bob, I'm going to give you the honor. Just pick any letter.
Well, let's see.
Pick any letter you want to.
All right. There you go.
That, right
yeah.
there.
Yeah, read that one, Dutch. That looks
I'm going to read.
Good.
This is from a fan, okay?
Okay.
And this is the match they want to see right here.
Okay.
Let's see what it says here. It says, Dear Mr. Mantel, in reviewing your account, we have disclosed that your balance of $629.18 is seriously overdue, unless payment is. That's not the right letter. I'm sorry.
Just go to break. What was that, Doug?
No, it's nothing. Just go to break. It's nothing, Bob. It's nothing. It was the wrong letter. Why'd you pick this one? You should have picked one of these here.
Bob Cottle's got a look on his face like, what the fuck? Doc, you got anything?
Well, I think I've just learned that Mrs. Doc apparently attends the Dutch Mantel School of Personal Finance. Is all I thought there.
That's a shot. Offer your thoughts.
I guess this was one of those moments where they were bored and they were just trying to do something to keep themselves occupied, maybe.
Yeah,
probably that, and they're starting to slowly introduce the topic as well.
Yeah,
because there's more dream match stuff going to come up. But I thought it was a nice little comedy touch. You know, here it is, Dutch up there. You know what you do to heels back in the day, and they don't do it enough now. I don't think you embarrass heels. Heels should be embarrassed. They should look stupid. And Dutch is the heel commentator, and that's exactly what that segment was. Obviously did to him, made him look like an idiot. He's reading a personal bill of his on air that is late. Go figure. We go from that to a local promo with Tim Horner and the Rock and Roll Express. I will play this at the end. I'm sorry, I can't tolerate another Horner promo or I may blow my fucking head off.
So let me just tease it a little bit here by saying my note was Horner is talking people out of the building.
Yeah, I think it was Hastings Chris on Twitter or at Fake Buddy Landell on Twitter who said Horner is the only person who can talk people out of a building. Even your most hated or disgusted heels in the business can't talk people out of a building. Even, you know, I've never seen anyone talk people out of a building. Tim Horner seems to have mastered that down. He's the reverse money printer. We need to give a reverse money printer award at the end of every episode. It would go to Horner, though, so maybe not. We then go to the next segment after that. It is a recap of Orndorff and Garvin, followed by a Garvin and Orndorff new promo. The recap is when Garvin pranced around the ring with Orndorff's robe on, and Orndorff loses to Danny Davis because Orndorff was distracted by Garvin, who was using the robe. They then cut to a promo, which I will play right here.
All right, fans, right here now, Nitro Danny Davis, the man with the hands of stone, Ronnie Garvin, in that robe. Hey, Ronnie, wait a minute. That robe is something. That robe didn't look like that last week when you got it.
Well, let me tell you something. I never realized how short Paul Orndorff was. Oh, I guess I'm taller than he is.
Oh, man.
I'm going to tell you, Paul Orndorff, you see me laughing. That's right. I could take a whooping like a man and come back laughing. I told you I was going to get personal. You started this whole thing. You started it all, and you're going to pay the price. And I don't think you can handle it. And I like to say thanks to my friend here for standing by me. You see, Paula Orndorff. Yeah. From now on, please call the man Paula. He loves it. He loves it.
Yeah.
That's right. When he was a tiny baby at home, that's what he was called, Paula.
It was supposed to be a girl, grew up trying to be a man, but still can't do the job.
That's his dress. Is this not a dress that Ms. Wonderful used to wear? I think so.
Paula! Yeah. Paula! Paula! And I'm going to tell you something, Paula. You started this war. Ronnie Garvin's going to finish it. Yeah. And I'm going to tell you, it's not over. And I'm going to tell...
Oh, here she comes.
She's excited. Bye-bye.
That's her favorite. Go. Oh. Hey, so...
He got my back.
There goes Garvin and I close Andy Davis.
I cannot believe this! Shut it up!
He is just about completely out of control as Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff. Come on, Paul. Hey, you calm down just a little bit, Paul. You know last week that we took it. Paul in the crowd now, let's hear from the crowd. Let me call it.
Let me tell you something. Shut it up! In all the years that I've been in professional wrestling, I have never, ever had anything like this happen to me. Ronnie Garvin, that was my favorite robe. $15,000. And not only that, he cut it off. He cut it off. Do you know that Liberace tried to be like Mr. Wonderful? All those fancy robes and everything. But you know something, the difference between me and Liberace is that he couldn't do nothing about it. Ronnie Garvin, shut it up. This has gotten to be serious. And when I step into the ring with you, Ronnie Garvin, sooner or later, then I'm going to hurt you. And I'm going to try to break your neck because you're not going to get away with it. You're not.
We got to go. We're going to get away with it. Right here. We'll be back. We'll have more right after this.
I cannot believe you did that. And there's another thing.
I tell you what, we might not be buying into this feud, but there's a lot of people out there watching this that are in the building that night that are buying into it. Doc, you had any thoughts?
Was it just me or was it weird that the baby faces played chicken shit and powdered out?
I don't know. I'm not. That part didn't bother me.
How much did Orndorff say he paid for that robe?
$15,000. Did you catch that? I don't even know what
he might have got. He might have got ripped off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, of course, it was an exaggeration more than anything.
I get that.
But yeah.
P.O.'s hot, man. Orndorff's hot, though, man. I was starting to get worried for Bob Caudle's personal safety. I thought he might get his ass pile driven out there.
Yeah, he was mad. I will say this. Orndorff, for as cheesy as we may believe this to be, this whole, you know, thing with the robe, the crowd was into it. And
it's real to Paul.
And I was about to say that. For somebody who, for us to say that the feud ain't doing it for us, Orndorff sold it and made it believable, especially to those fans in the building and on TV. Like, you can see, I mean, they're into it. Look what they're chanting. They got the Paula chants going. He's throwing a fit. He's hurt that somebody did that to his robe. And, you know, for people, you're listening to this, if you're not watching it along, the robe is cut off, like, at the thigh area. So this is a long robe, one of those, you know, I guess Ric Flair-type robes that go all the way down to the floor. Well, the robe is actually cut at the thigh. So Ronnie Garvin's out there with thighs out and knees. Mm. You bet I like what?
Seeing all of his legs there underneath that robe, it tantalized you, I'm sure.
I'm not following.
Harper knew.
Okay. Mm. That maybe shows what kind of people y'all are. I don't know
Miss Atlanta, right?
That was Miss Atlanta Lively.
Yeah.
85 Starcade. Hey, Doc, I got a question for you. I feel like I need to remind everyone or a statement. Orndorff's only 33 at this time.
Bullshit.
No, nope. I think he's 43.
Yeah, 43. No.
Did I miscalculate it? What year was he born?
43, man.
Isn't he born in... What? No, I thought he was 33 right here.
It's got to be 43.
Hold on.
I could be wrong. We'll let the doc do the research on it. Paul Orndorff
is right now, as we speak, mm-hmm. in Smoky Mountain, about to turn 43 years old.
Okay, I was off. I didn't do good math on that.
He's about 3 weeks from his 43rd birthday here.
Okay, my bad. My math is off. My apologies. Okay, you want to bury me before I go to the next segment, Doc?
I think you do a perfect job of burying yourself.
Okay, so we got the next segment, which is Down and Dirty with Dutch, and we're going to get to that right here. And this is with Primetime Brian Lee and Bullet Bob Armstrong.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Down and Dirty with Dutch. I'm Dutch Mantell, hosted by a man, a legend, and a way of life. My special guest today, Commissioner of Smoky Mountain Wrestling, Bob Armstrong, and the most wanted man in America, ladies and gentlemen, the former Smoky Mountain heavyweight champion, Brian Lee. Now, you know I've done a little journalistic work this week, and I found out through the grapevine, not from your office, of course, but through the grapevine, that a new letter has been received by a mystery man, and now that this man has a name. Now, could you tell us just a little more about that?
Rather than waste words, just let me read the letter to you, Dutch. It's addressed to Commissioner Bob Armstrong. Brian Lee seems to have many friends and many allies. My followers have only me to help them. Since society has rejected them, as the sport of wrestling has rejected me, to make my task easier for my errand boys, I'm extending the bounty. Any man who helps Brian Lee is now a target. $10,000 will go to whoever hurts Brian Lee or any of his buddies so badly that they can't compete in the Smoky Mountain wrestling area. Since you seem to require some name to call me, I will be happy to help. You may call me the Master. Since I am the master of wrestling, the master of my followers, and most importantly, the master of your destiny. Well, I'll tell you this, mister, I don't know who this master is, but I've tried, I've done everything in my power to find out who he is, and so far, I'm dumbfounded. I can't find out a thing. I just kept getting these creepy letters. What kind of sick mind would write something like this?
Well, all right, we've heard your side of it. Now, prime time, now it's time for a little bit of reply from you. I want to know, and I think the fans would like to know what I'm... What does it feel like to be the most hunted and the most wanted man in all the world?
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I'm tired of this so-called master. You say you're a master, but you're nothing but a coward. I'm standing here, and if you got any guts, you'll come get in my face. I'm tired of your hired help. $10,000, I'm still standing tall and doing it all. My name ain't Prime Time for just any reason, and I'll tell you what, Master, I'm standing here, and I've said it before like I said it last week. You get my face, and you'll go down just like every one of your hired hands.
There you heard it, fans. The words from Commissioner Bob Armstrong and Prime Time Brian Lee. Don't go away. More Smoky Mountain Wrestling coming up. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
All right, Doc, I'll throw it at you first.
I'm about ready for this shit to pay off.
Yeah, it's gone. Bro, this is a slow burn.
Yeah, for real, huh?
It's a slow burn.
This is like a Tim Horner natural bridge.
But okay, so let me ask this:
it takes forever to get there.
But are you legit tired at this point of it? You're just tired of the build of it right now.
My note on this whole segment was that if you've got Armstrong and Dutch out there together, meh should not be the way my walk away from it, and that's kind of where I'm at.
Okay, I hear that. I mean, I got that. Harper, you've said already you're ready for this to pay off, right?
Yeah, this has been going on since Dirty White Boy won the belt.
No. This has been going on since, what was the name of it? Not Summer Blast. Fire in the Mouth. When he was jumped by the Mongolian Mauler.
That's when he won the belt, wasn't it?
Yeah.
No,
that's how he lost.
You mean how? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He didn't win the belt. He won the belt at Volunteer Slam. Let's define who he is. You're talking about Primetime Brian Lee. He won the belt at Volunteer Slam. He lost the belt at Fire on the Mountain.
Because it's been going on since then. History guy.
Yes, it's been going on since then. Which I do agree. That was, I believe, 8 to 9 weeks ago. At this point, 10 weeks
God
ago. At this point,
so damn.
It's been going on a while. I agree. So let's keep it moving. So we got as soon as they come back from commercial, Paul Lee is in there versus the stalker that turns into Brian Lee versus another one of the stalkers. It's weird. Paul Lee is wrestling the most recent stalker that looks like a Samoan Savage, but Primetime Brian Lee comes out to take matters into his own hands, and he goes after the Samoan Stalker. I'm calling him that because he has no other name right now. It then becomes an impromptu match. Dutch and Bob Cotto are still speculating who the master is that is giving out these orders to the Stalkers. During the match, another Stalker appears. This is the guy who appeared at a recent local show, a house show, that attacked Primetime Brian Lee. This big guy who has the initials NS on his tights powerbombs Primetime Brian Lee, which is no small feat for a guy Primetime Brian Lee's size. The Rock and Roll Express come out to make the save, and the guy with NS on his tights and the Samoan Savage powder out of the ring. Doc, what did you think about this segment and match that really just, it was real quick. I mean, nothing real long here.
Cottle says there's no way to determine how many guys the master has.
Which is true.
All right. Right, but I'm going to say there's two because that's what I see. We haven't seen the first guy in a while. And at the end, Rock and Roll runs out. So does that mean they now have a bounty on their head based on the comments we just got in the Down and Dirty segment?
Well, I would think that may be the case. Harper, you got anything? Or are you just tired of this? Well,
that's Adam Bomb, huh?
Yeah.
Well, let's just say it since you said it. And he's the Night Stalker, right?
Doc? Ron Clark.
Yeah, but he's Adam Bomb too. So there you go. You know who it is. That's the one I cut a promo on last week. I cut a promo on Doc a few weeks ago. He was mad at me because I was like, no, don't spoil it for people. Okay, so anything else regarding this and these stalkers? Because, yes, we're starting to build up. There's a lot of stalkers we know at this point. No. I would take silence as a no. So then we haven't seen the stud stable in a while, right, Doc?
No, but I think we're about to.
There you go. We haven't seen Stud Stable in a while. So, hey, there's no time like the present. We got Jimmy Golden and Robert Fuller at the desk with Bob Cottle cutting a promo.
All right, fans, right now you're with me. Anytime you talk about outstanding tag teams, these two have got to be on any list. The Stud Stable, Robert Fuller, Jimmy Golden. Robert?
Well, Jimmy, here we are in Sneedville. How about it, Sneedville? You bunch of ugly, good-for-nothing, sorry rascals, you. You know something, Jimmy? They got to be real proud tonight because Sneedville's got a fortunate night. They got a little bit of Purdy in town. They got gorgeous Jimmy and the Tennessee Stud with them. Everybody's got a big grin because you're not used to it, are you, son? I'm going to tell you something. You know, I'm going to bring up the Rock and Roll Express because these boys are undoubtedly a couple of cowards. Here's two guys we have whipped in the ring over and over and over again, but who gets the title shot? Who's chasing the heavenly bodies around? And they say they're going to have us prove ourselves with the likes of the Fantastics. There's only one fantastic team in this area, and it's Robert Fuller and Jimmy Golden. Jimmy, you know, we got down on our knees, and we worked out all week long, wore out five sets of knee pads, trying to figure out how to wrestle two dwarfs.
Hey, I want to tell you something about the Rock and Roll Express. I don't blame you one bit. If I had to step in the ring with somebody every night that beat me up real bad, I wouldn't want to get back in there with them either. But I'm going to tell you one thing. You'll never see the day you stop the Stud Stable, brother. Never,
all right, fans. We're ready with more action right now. Let's get to the ring.
Okay, Doc. We hadn't seen them in a while. What were your thoughts on the Stud Stable right there?
I came unglued with the pop when he said they got down on their knees all week trying to figure out how to fight a couple of dwarves. What a great line. And I mean, it's just, I can't tell you, there's no script in the world that would have it written down for how Fuller enters the scene with that promo. But just how natural it is and how it just makes you believe that that's really him, because it's just a natural reaction when he just starts yelling, you know, just being dismissive of the fans. It's just natural. It's who he is. He's not – his character is not being a character.
Yeah, I agree. It's just a very natural promo. He turns it up. Harper, you got anything?
Yeah, it felt like this is just who he is.
Yeah.
And he like really knows Sneedville. Like he knows these fucking people. Like this ain't his first time there.
You bunch of ugly rascals. I love that line.
And he's probably right.
Oh, Harper.
Right.
Taking a jab at the people of the Smoky Mountains. Boy. Okay. We roll into the next match. We got a Nitro Danny Davis and Dixie Dynamite match versus the Heavenly Bodies with Jim Cornette and Killer Kyle. It is, I guess it's for the straps. Stanfield is milking the water polo helmet and beaver pelt. That, Doc, I'm sure you listened. Cornette told us he did confirm that Wallace Stanfield Lane had to wear the beaver pelt so that the pelt would stay on his head as he was working so that it didn't get ripped off his head. And Cornette said it was amateur wrestling headgear, but it looks more like a water polo helmet to me. So we'll leave it at that. Doc, any thoughts before I continue?
No.
Okay. Did you hear what Cornette told me though when he described the pelt?
I did.
I do need to say this to put you over. You had never heard Cornette call it a pelt, I don't think. And you originally dubbed it the beaver pelt when we first started talking about this. And to hear Corny call it a pelt, it popped me as I was recording with him. And I believe it popped you as you were listening to it. Is that a fair statement?
It didn't pop me. It's not surprising to me that me and Jim Cornette hold very similar views on the world and wrestling.
Okay, I'm sure you can book the territory like Cornette could too, Mr. fucking PhD, whatever. The Rock and Roll joins the commentary during the match. Morton starts the commentating with talking about all the great people. God, he does that, and it's beautiful, and it puts him over as a face. Morton talks about the injunction that Cornette has on the Rock and Roll getting a title shot, but the Rock and Roll are patient and will still get theirs. Morton and Robert wish Davis and Dixie luck in this title match because that's what baby faces do. Harper, you got anything before I continue?
Go ahead. Except Robert kind of mumbled, and I was like, fuck's he saying?
See?
No
crackers to eat. He got a mouthful of saltine crackers. No water. Yeah.
Thanks, Doc. Great. Get back to the match. Cornette is yelling at some big fat woman in the first row. Welfare! Welfare! And, bro, let me tell you, I'll get to Harper in a second. The woman wasn't happy. Harper, you had some commentary on this, I know.
It's about the 41st or the 40-minute mark.
Wish I could find it on here.
It's about the 42nd mark, and there's this old fat woman and this white trash guy and some kid with a Batman t-shirt on, and this kid is losing his shit, calling him a no good son of a bitch, and he's about to start crying or something. And then as they get back to the match, you can still hear them screaming over the crowd, calling him a no good son of a bitch. And I tried to, he said something before that, but I couldn't make it out. But
At the 40, I don't know if we're talking about the same one, but at 42:15, there's a woman that tries to kick it. She kicks through the barricade at Corny.
I think that's it.
Is that the fat woman that he yelled welfare to?
Yeah, I think so.
I'm asking Doc.
One is kind of coming at you as you're watching it. They've got the camera down kind of, and he's coming at the camera. This one is at the far where the camera's behind him, and the woman's on the other side of him. And she kicks at him through the metal barricade.
All right, I think I found it at the 42-minute mark. Hold on. Let's see if we can pick it up here.
With that handle right to the throat. How in the world did you miss that?
I didn't see it. I'm sorry. I didn't see it. Maybe I was in the Bahamas or somewhere. I didn't see it.
Last week you didn't see that bottle crash across the head of Tim Horner.
No, I didn't. I didn't see that either.
All right, here's Pritchard into the ring.
Welfare, right there, baby. Welfare. Excellent choice. Yeah. Excellent choice of words. Welfare.
Okay.
I tell you, somebody ought to come out and take care of Killer Kyle. Kyle ought to be moved from around.
You can't hear it, but that kid called him a bitch.
Yeah,
you can read his lips, and that woman was trying to kick him, like you said, Harper, through the barricade.
And meanwhile, you've got Dutch, just I didn't see it. I didn't see
yeah.
it.
Like, no selling.
There's so much going on that's great right there.
Yeah, that was good. That was good.
Good to see. Go ahead. Because he's probably right when he's screaming welfare at him.
Right. It's a shoot. Oh,
it's a shoot. It's a shoot. Well, Doc did give the demographics on the welfare.
30%
stats earlier in last week's episode. So whatever. No shade. We're not making fun of the people of Sneedville. I'm just we're addressing the segment that was just there.
No, if I made fun of the people of Sneedville, that would make me a bully for picking on the less fortunate. So that's not going to happen.
Well, and Hopper, you're right though, man. He yells welfare, and that woman is trying to kick him, and that little kid yelled. Look like he yelled either fuck you, bitch, or you're a bitch. One of those two. So, man, that was awesome. Hey, that's heat, bruh.
That's right. Heat. That's what I want to see when I tune in.
She wasn't happy, and neither was that kid. I can't tell if that kid looked like when Cornette walked away, that kid was crying or not. It almost looked
like
it. I know. But
he looked like he was emotional.
Nowadays, when Owens made that kid cry, the mom goes on social media and fucking makes a big deal out of it and wants him to apologize.
Well, that cock
goblin twat was wrong, so that's all I'll say about that.
There you go. Okay, so we proceed into the match after the welfare segment. At one point, as the match is going on, Dutch accuses Bob Cottle of being a heavy drinker and that he needs to stop sipping on the bottle.
Yeah,
that was also after
Cottle says, "Dutch, that eardrum should have healed by now."
Yeah, he should have. He's been wearing a polo helmet for a while, the water polo helmet. Dutch, right after all that happens, Dixie actually hits his finisher, the Confederate kick on Dr. Tom, but Stan Lane makes a save. Dixie then cross bodies both of the Heavenly Bodies, but the Heavenly Bodies kick out. Dixie is able to roll up Stan Lane. Dixie actually has Stan Lane pinned for like 7 seconds, I counted or so, but the referee is distracted, of course. Dr. Tom loads up his boot, nails Dixie in the back. Stan Lane then gets the pin, and the Heavenly Bodies retain their Smoky Mountain Wrestling tag team straps or titles. Doc, we've given commentary on everything else so far, but your thoughts on the match overall?
The match was good. I mean, Dynamite and Davis are certainly good hands, and the fans like them, and they're over, so that helps. And they do a very good job working with the Bodies, who are obviously the Heavenly Buddies. And so overall, it's entertaining. And then you add on the commentary, and you add on Cornette running around the ring, getting the slack jaw yokels fired up. It was good.
Yeah, he got him going, bro.
Yes.
He got him going. Harper, what'd you have from it?
Just fucking, just to see Jim Cornette get those people worked up was fucking worth it all.
It was like, you said it a while back when you were talking about Tracy Smothers once when at a Wildcat show. It was like he's a puppet master. You know, he knows what to say, he knows what to do, Cornette that is. When he's out there and he pulls their strings and they react. And I mean in that segment right there, he's got this lady trying to kick him through a barricade and he made some little fucking 12-year-old cry like a bitch.
Mission accomplished.
There you go. This is the point we're trying to pull off in wrestling. I'm going to keep
it fucking it's not that fucking hard.
It ain't that fucking hard, guys. We ain't building a rocket. He's right. Kevin Sullivan, we played that soundbite a few weeks back. We go to, from that match, a house show, local promo, Dirty White Boy Cornette. I'll throw it in at the end so you can hear it. I mean, it's not terrible. It's not great. No, it's not a grand slam.
You don't have to play it. You don't have to play it. I mean, Dirty White Boy didn't say a whole lot, but he was very solid in what he said. And Corny was insulting their mountains, that the Smoky Mountains were shitty mountains, and then went on and hit on cartoon wrestling. So it's worth a listen at the end.
You know what? Hold on.
God damn it. I just said it. We were going to play it
motherfucker.
Again.
Motherfucker.
Just kick me
fuck
in the
you. I want it now.
Smoky Mountain Wrestling here on WHSV TV3 in Harrisonburg. And Smoky
this
Mountain Wrestling
guy.
Is coming to Harrisonburg real soon. Just watch TV3 for more details.
That's right. Watch TV3, baby, and you're going to see the greatest thing that ever happened to the professional wrestling in the world today. And I'm talking about your Smoky Mountain heavyweight champion, the Dirty White Boy. Now, I'm going to be coming there. You lucky devils, to defend this title against, maybe Ronnie Garvin, maybe Tim Horner, nah. Whoever it is, I'm going to be there, so show up, call everybody you know, and get down there, because I'm going to be there.
And here's the manager of the Heavenly Bodies, Jim Cornette.
I don't think, Burrhead, that you need to introduce me, because all the people are in Harrisonburg, they've seen me many times before. They know what Jim Cornette can do. They know what Stan Lane can do. They're fixed to find out what Tom Pritchard can do. The Heavenly Bodies, Harrisonburg, Stanton, Waynesboro, all over the area. Smoky Mountain Wrestling's going to be coming, because you see, you people, you got mountains up there, but unfortunately, you don't have nice mountains. See, where we come from, we got Smoky Mountains. You got crummy, stinking mountains. So we're going to show you the difference. And we're going to show you also the difference in top wrestling competition or cartoon wrestling. The kind of stuff you've been seeing in the past. This is the real thing, brother. And when the Heavenly Bodies get in the ring to defend their Smoky Mountain Tag Team title, they're not playing around. Just ask the Rock and Roll Express. No, wait. You can't ask the Rock and Roll Express because they don't get no title shots. That's such a shame. But I tell you something. Everybody knows I've hated the Rock and Roll Express probably for the better part of my life. And any time, any place, anywhere around the Harrisonburg area that we get a chance to get in the ring with the Rock and Roll Express, then that's exactly what we're going to do. And you will see the dadgumdest tag team wrestling match that you have ever viewed in your entire poor, deprived, stinking, filthy lives.
Accommodations for this event were provided by Super 8 Motel in Morristown, Tennessee. The motel for the cost-conscious business and leisure travelers located at Exit 8. Just 9 minutes off I-81. You'll always find quality for less at Super 8 Motel Morristown. For reservations, call area code 615-586-8880.
He should have said, for leisure travelers and sport fuckers. For leisure travelers and hourly rat banging.
Yes. Don't forget about that corporate rate.
For the Super 8 yeah. corporate
rate. You know what that really is?
Don't Continental breakfast.
No, that's the corporate rate is an hour where you can go over at lunch and bang one out and get back to work.
I can't deal with it. The irony of the fact that there's a Super 8 motel that's a fucking sponsor.
When you think about,
I don't know. Google it. Google Super 8 Motel 2430 East Andrew Jackson. And I'm sure somebody will tweet us.
Wait, Super 8? What town? Super,
in Morristown, Tennessee. It's in Tim Horner's hometown. Jesus Christ.
That's no, they got one at you can't make this shit up. There's not one at Andrew Jackson anymore, but there is one on South Davy Crockett Parkway.
Jesus Christ.
These fucking hillbillies.
5400 South Davis Park, South Davy Crockett Parkway.
How much does it cost a night?
$52.
Oh, shit.
$52? Fuck, that's...
Jesus.
That's cheap. Oh, yeah, man. That's fucking
that
cheap, man.
Tell you what kind of hotel.
Here we go. First one, a week ago. First review. Always adequate. Breakfast isn't fancy, but standard. For the price, it's a good value and close to where I have to be while working in Morristown. Staff is normally helpful, and it seems to be locally owned.
Oh, here's one from 2 months from Brooke. No bed bugs or roaches, thank God.
Here's one that's a 1-star review that says, gross with 5 exclamation points. Sheets stained and dirty. Do not stop. Not sure where the 3.4 review came from other than the owner. Biggest mistake in hotel in my life. The 1-star I gave it was because it provided shelter only and with pet friendly, but with an additional fee.
I don't know what else to say.
Here's another one right after it that says the room was average but clean. Some of the towels were stained, but found no parasites of any kind. Thank goodness.
The towels were stained. What are the odds?
It's good to see that the Smoky Mountain legacy lives on. The Smoky Mountain wrestling legacy.
What are the odds that some of those towels were towels that were shipped over from the one that was used from 1992? And they may still actually have microscopic DNA of fluids.
It was a last-minute decision. It was a last-minute decision to stay here. Smelled like smoke, and there were weird stains on everything. Only stay if desperate like we were. On the plus side, the air conditioner worked well.
You couldn't write this shit.
Why do wrestlers want to jizz on everything?
I don't think they want to. It's a byproduct.
Workers in it.
It's a byproduct of having sex, you dumbass. You're gonna jizz on. You're gonna jizz.
You workers. There's stories. Y'all either leave a shit in the bathtub or. What is wrong with you folks?
Nah, I always use condoms, man. I never deposited my jizz on sheets and walls or belts. It went in the freaking latex and got tossed that way. I'm sorry, I can't help you. Oh boy, that was a great 10-minute sidetrack. All because I decided to play a local promo that bled into the Super 8 Motel in Morristown, Tennessee. And so let's get back on track. We've got the Rock and Roll Express cutting a gem at the end of the episode, and I actually like this, and it's good. So let's see what they had to say.
All right, fans, with me right now, of course, here they are, two guys that wrestling fans all around the Smoky Mountain area have really taken to their hearts. Four times World Tag Team Champions, the Rock and Roll Express. And last week, you guys were really blindsided when Jim Cornette came out with that special surprise, an injunction that you guys could not wrestle the Heavenly Bodies for the championship, Rick.
Well, Bob, you know, Jimmy Cornette always comes up with something, especially when he's wrestling against the Rock and Roll Express. But you see, Cornette, that's all right with us, because we just went back in the dressing room, and we fed our little something. Now, if Jimmy Cornette likes surprises, man, have we got a surprise next week. Next week, right here, for Jimmy Cornette and the Heavenly Bodies, baby, have we got something planned great for you. I'm talking about one of the biggest surprises that you ever can imagine, Bob Cottle.
Hey, wait a minute now. You really got my interest on this,
Rick. No. We have to wait the next week now, because that's when it's going to happen. So, Jimmy Cornette, you be ready. And I want all the fans to make sure you tune in, because have we got something in store for the midnight and for the Heavenly Bodies, excuse me, right there, and Jimmy Cornette.
Hey, I can't wait. I'm excited about that. I'd like to know what that is. Fans, you heard it right out of the mouths of the Rock and Roll Express next week. The surprise for the Heavenly Bodies. We'll see you then on Smoky Mountain Wrestling.
I like that finish. I like that they teased it. It's like the fish hook is being put in your mouth, and Ricky says they got a surprise. It communicates that everybody better tune in next week. I thought that was a great way to go off air and to make sure that the audience tunes in next week. You know, fish hook, meat mouth. They set the hook on that one. Harper, your thoughts before we throw it to Doc.
What's a surprise?
Well, you'll have to tune in next week, episode 38,
tell me now.
October 17th.
How do you keep an idiot in suspense?
There you go. Not telling you the surprise.
Son
it's
of
a great one, though. Yeah, there you go. It's a great one, though. Doc, your thoughts?
He just slipped and said, I almost said Midnight Express, just because he's just comfortable being back in the rock and roll, and it feels like old days again.
Yeah. Real quick, I was reading some of the comments where this video is posted. This is not about this promo, but somebody said, judging from his promos, Tim Horner has had a concussion since the show started.
I read that too.
Somebody else under that says he's a brain dead rube. Then there's another one that said Cornette owned that kid at the 42-16 mark. Yeah. So, some great, great stuff there. Man, I enjoyed this episode. Doc popped me at the end with the Super 8 Motel stuff. I just thought that was great. I'll give out my disability check. By now, I think you guys know what a disability check is, and I got to go with 7.8 on this episode. Doc, you give yours next.
Well, you are out of your mind, first of all. Let me just say You are completely irrational at this point, and I'm starting to fear for your own medical safety. There's no way this episode earned 7.8 disability checks. In fact, it didn't even earn 6.8 disability checks. I'm going to give it a 6.7.
Okay. Is there a reason why?
It's something I talked about, I think, last week when I said we're kind of in a lull. And the lull is still good, and it's better than watching most wrestling. And I had a fun 51 minutes watching this. But I know where we've been, and I know where we're going. And it's a slight little valley we're in. And in the next couple of weeks, shit's going to pick up big time.
Okay. Well, I hear you. You know what? I shouldn't go 7.8. Let me change that.
Told you.
You're right. You're right on some things. I'm going to go 7.5. I'm going to go 7.5. All right. What you got, Harper?
A 7.
A 7? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just – I mean, to be honest with you, what saved it for me was fucking Cornette screaming at that kid. That shit was fucking great.
That was great. And the kid said, called him a bitch. That was really nice. that was real classy is what that was.
Typical Sneedville white trash fucker.
They took our jobs. They took our jobs.
Stop. Y'all need to stop. Hey, we hope you're enjoying the show. If you are, catch us on iTunes, Podcast Addict, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, or however you're listening to this right now. And please do us a favor, subscribe to the show. We could also use some more 5-star reviews on iTunes. So please, please do so. Throw us a 5-star review and put some nice comments. That helps the show out. If you're just listening online, you can go to tinyurl.com/BTTpod. Follow us on Twitter at @BTT_podcast. I'm at @Mike504Saints. Hardbody Hopper is at @CJHHudat. He would appreciate some more follows. And then I want to say the Facebook page is facebook.com/bookingtheterritory. Trying to grow the page and grow it as far as people making comments on the episodes. You know, Doc likes to make fun of the good people in Smoky Mountain. I hate that he does that. And there are some things we just don't understand about the area. Like right now when we just went through the Super 8 Motel rankings. Let us know your thoughts if you've ever stayed at that Super 8 Motel whenever this episode posts. And share what you think related to the stains that they talk about. God damn, Doc. I don't know if I should get you to read that again. It was so great. But maybe not. Also, check out our Pro Wrestling Tees store. That's at tinyurl.com/BTT Pro Wrestling Tees. Pick up a few T-shirts. The Smoky Mountain Wrestling Podcast T-shirt is on there. And then lastly, I want to say, if you enjoy what we do and the 8 free shows that we kick out each week, one being the Smoky Mountain Wrestling Podcast and the other being the Booking the Territory flagship show on Thursdays, consider becoming a patron member by going to tinyurl.com/BTT patron. That is where you can get exclusive access to the BTT patron episodes, along with the chance to become or the chance to actually come on the show and cut a promo on whatever you want, whether that's me, Doc Harper, or the current product, or just share your thoughts about Smoky Mountain Wrestling. I want to say thanks to Lone Wolf, Codeman, Josh, Jeff, Adam, William, Dan N, Jason, Dan V, David V, Tim, Twit Dust, Wayne G, Matt Boonhauer, Monzi, and Marty Howell. Thank you all for being Booking the Territory Pro Wrestling Podcast patrons and Smoky Mountain Wrestling Podcast patrons. All right, Doc, we got to do the Government Cheese Award. Longtime listener, Shard Johnson. Who are you giving your Government Cheese Award to this week?
Are we sure that Shar Johnson's even still alive?
Yeah, I heard from him about a week ago, maybe.
Well, I'm glad you're back in good health, Shard.
Yeah.
I actually changed my Government Cheese Award since we started rolling tape on this. I'm going to give my government cheese to Robert Fuller and that promo he cut, because that shit was fucking awesome.
That was really good. I'm shocked that you gave it to him. Not that his promo wasn't good. I'm just a little shocked that you gave it to Robert Fuller. I think you kind of just wanted to switch it up more than anything, but that's cool. I understand.
Well, I will, in all honesty and transparency, because I never lie to these people. I went into the episode with a third straight week of giving it to Dirty White Boy, but I'm going to snatch the cheese from right out of his open mouth as he's sticking it in there and hand it over to Robert Fuller.
Okay, sounds good. Harper, what about you, man? Who you giving it to?
To Cornette for fucking making that fat white trash woman scream at him and that kid cry.
I got to be honest. I got to give it to Cornette, too, because I had lined up Dirty White Boy to get it in Ron Wright when Ron Wright talking about his cataracts and going to go blind. I was leaning towards that, but as I'm reviewing it and we're doing this episode, it was hard for me to not give it to Cornette and making that kid cry and calling that and telling that big fat woman, welfare, welfare. I thought that was great. Yeah. You see, welfare, welfare. Sadly, you know, I'm not trying to make fun of her, but he may be right. Given the
odds
statistics,
are that she was.
Yeah.
Given the statistics.
That's why she popped like that.
Truth hurts.
That kid called Cornette a bitch.
maybe the kid gets the cheese. He probably could use it more than anybody else.
A kid called Cornette a bitch.
Lack of proper nutrition will cause him to grow up to be a complete. What's the R word we're looking for?
That kid's grown now. Think about that. He was 12 years old there. I mean,
completely on the dole, but blaming other people for his problems. Absolutely.
Yeah.
He's good.
I've always wondered whatever happened to that girl on the Smoky Mountain commercial waving at the camera. Where's she?
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
If I had to guess, I would say six kids by five dudes.
Doc, why do you insult people like that?
Because the people are the people, and I see what I see.
But I mean, seriously, come on now.
I work everything I work on in life off of the probabilities, and so when I look and see what the statistics tell me, I don't go against them. If somebody tells you who you are, you believe them, son.
All right. Well, okay. So what you're saying is
there's a bunch of slack jawed meth heads in that area.
That's nice.
Come on, bro.
Hey, if I go to a reasonably mid market hotel. Where I come from, you're not going to see a bunch of stains and shit in this fucking bathtub.
He's playing heel.
Weirdo.
Oh, well, the stains and stuff in the sheets and stuff is just proof a lot of this happened.
Oh, wow! This is a long one. Time to wait for that payoff. Oh, wow!
You want the long version?
No.
Backs him in the ropes. Here he comes across. Lackland jumps over.
Oh! Harper, that sounds like a good orgasm he's having there.
Yeah.
Oh!
I'm just looking at his arms. They're monstrous. Oh. Look at that.
Billy Jack Hayes.
David Crockett. Backs him up. There he goes. Look at him. Jeez. Oh boy. All right, I don't think Doc, we got anything else, man? Anything else we need to cover before we get out of here today?
Jesus Christ, we are in the midst. You people don't know it because you're just listening to episode whatever this is. But what you don't know is that the menace here has held Harper and I captive for the better part of an entire day. We are stuck in a Smoky Mountain sweatshop, and I just want to go.
I hear you. Well, thank you, fuck you, bye, as Cornette says then. Harper, you got anything before we get out of here?
No, let's go.
All right, man. Check out the Thursday show that we do each and every week. We may have some promos at the end of this week episode that you can tune into. But, yeah, check out the Thursday show that we do, the flagship show. We talk some old classic wrestling amongst a number of topics. Harper, with all that said, you can hit the tagline and you can get us out of here on this week's episode of our Smoky Mountain Wrestling Podcast.
Book it, bitch.
Mr. Cornette is coming over here, obviously, to tell us some words of wisdom that only the man of Jim Cornette's stature can tell us.
Thank you very much, Dutch. I appreciate it. You know, I always like to come over here and talk to you, and I always like to come over here and interrupt Bob Caudle. And you see, I am so confident of Killer Kyle's ability that I'm not even staying at ringside. He's going to beat Robbie Eagle in about 3 or 4 seconds. There ain't no problem. And I'm going to sit over here and I'm going to tell you what all's going on in the world of Jim Cornette and the heavenly bodies and Killer Kyle. Isn't that going to be nice, Bob?
Yes, sir. No doubt about that, Jim Cornette. You might digress a little bit to last week and what happened with Killer Kyle and primetime Brian Lee, as a matter of fact.
Well, what happened was Brian Lee, Killer Kyle, look at the strength of the power of the man.
Look at
Killer Kyle was about to collect the bounty on Brian Lee when all of a sudden all of his friends jumped in the ring. The Rock and Roll Express jumped in, Dixie Dynamite, Dick Davis. Everybody trying to save Brian Lee because he couldn't handle Killer Kyle. That's what happened.
Absolutely.
That's exactly right. We wouldn't lie to you, Bob. And I'll tell you another thing. The Rock and Roll Express is still moaning and groaning. Look at this man. Oh, man. Killer Kyle, brother, he cut him a flip. The Rock and Roll Express is still moaning and groaning because I got that court injunction. My mother, not yet, Killer. Okay, I want him to have a good workout.
You want to work him over, huh?
I got that court injunction from my mother's attorneys. She's got a crack law firm. We don't have to defend the tag team title against the Rock and Roll Express until all the other teams that deserve a chance have had one. That could be quite a while, Bob. I'm so sorry about that. That's the way it is.
Oh, I know you are. I can almost see tears running down your cheeks.
Yeah, that's sweat because you people don't have good enough air conditioning up here in these hills, you hillbillies. Not yet, Killer. Good. I want him to get a workout.
Oh, my heavens. Twice he could have pinned the guy. Why do you
want to
keep...
I'll tell you something. Hey, maybe all the people that are writing in, you know, I know the dream match voting is closed up already. That's such a shame, too. Yeah. I'm sure these brain surgeons out here and the mental midgets had a lot of great ideas. I know Dutch has got some letters he's going to be reading. But wouldn't it have been great to see a dream match to see the Rock and Roll against the Heavenly Bodies for the tag title? Too bad that can't happen. I'm really broke up about that. You can just see the stomach acid just churning up in my stomach right now.
I can tell you're really upset about it.
Let me tell you, look at Killer Kyle. He's trying to make a pretzel out of this goof. It's Robbie Eagle. What, is that his name? Is he
Eagle.
An Indian or what?
Robbie Eagle.
We got no reservations about fighting Indians. Is he an Indian or what is he?
No, that's just his
name,
Robbie
Eagle.
He's
for the birds, if you ask me. I'm so funny.
He gives away a tremendous amount of weight and size.
Hit him, Killer. There we go.
The powerful man. Such a tremendous amount of strength, Jim.
I tell you, things are really going bad for me because I got my man Killer here, not Chad Killer. Man Killer here to collect the bounty, $10,000 would be making. I've also got the Heavenly Bodies now away from the Rock and Roll Express in title matches. We'll wrestle them all they want. We got matches against them, but they don't get a title shot because they don't deserve one. So I have to worry about that headache. And now, of course, the dream match is coming up. I know that a lot of people are going to be voting to see all of my men in action because, after all, you know, hey we're the
right
greatest
the
thing going to
Kyle.
Smoky Mountain Wrestling.
Well, and not only that, we're talking about the dream matches, Jim, but also what? We've got a November to Remember coming up.
You're
going to be dancing around that one,
I'm going to be dancing around, and I can't wait for Thanksgiving Thunder because I know a few turkeys around here that I'm anxious to pluck. Oh, no!
He hit that turnbuckle with that big right hand of his. Now look here at Robbie Eagle. Eagle with the right hand sends him back into the
corner.
He's
taking so much out of Eagle. Eagle can't even throw a punch, man. He hits like my grandmother. He's taking so much out of him now. What? This is only a momentary diversion for Killer. See, he held onto the rope. He's got him now. Boom!
Over the top rope.
Whoa! Did you see that?
He clotheslined him, and over the top rope, right out of the ring, goes Robbie Eagle.
That should teach him right there.
Look at him, Dutch. He's down on the floor.
And look at Killer Kyle, always
he's
a sportsman.
Help him, I guess. Yeah.
Calm, cruel, deliberate, calculating, absolutely emotionless.
And
no compassion for his fellow man.
And considerate. He helped him back
and
in the ring.
And considerate because he helped him back in the ring to absorb a little bit more punishment.
And he goes and right back to work again.
Uh-oh. I believe this is the double whammy coming up. First the rub out right about now. That rubs him out. And now if Killer... No. Hey, Killer! Killer!
Wait a minute. Cornette says no.
Crunch him, baby!
Crunch him.
Asphyxiator!
The asphyxiator coming up.
The asphyxiator is coming up.
Something new from Killer.
Right, that fist under the sternum. He's going to cut off all the oxygen. The man can't breathe. It's just like having 2 tons sitting on your chest, brother. Look at him. He's gasping. He's rolling. His eyes are popping out. They're bloodshot. This is such a beautiful sight, man. I can't believe it. But, Paul, what you're seeing is sheer premeditated assassination right there.
And tremendous power. The asphyxiator on Robbie Eagle, and he is just completely out. He's done, Jim.
It's been nice visiting with you, and I'll see you later. I got more fish to fry.
All right, Jim Cornette.
Here's your winner of the match, Killer Kyle.
All right, fans, with us right now, here is the Dirty White Boy and, of course, his manager, Mr. Ron Wright. Ron Wright, I've never seen anything happen like last week. The bottle right across the head of Tim Horner by the Dirty White Boy. A concussion now from Horner, but he says against doctor's orders, he's going to wrestle anyway.
Now, let me tell you something. I can't help what he done. You know what really happened out here? Horner come out here. We was out here celebrating and having a little party over my life being spared, where Horner jumped on me and tried to kill me. And the man Horner grabbed that bottle and swung it to Dirty White Boy, hit me in the head with it. Now the doctor's done went and told me where that glass got down in my cataracts, where I've had cataract surgery. I'm probably going to go blind, lose my eyesight, and I'll be a blind manager out here. I'm already crippled in a wheelchair, and I'm going to be blind now just over the tactics that Tim Horner come out here and tried to do on me.
And Dirty White Boy, we did not see it that way. And, of course, Horner, he says he's ready anyway. He's going to be following you wherever you might go.
Well, that's fine then, Danny. You know, I understand Tim Horner's got a concussion. Right. Well, that's fine, concussion or not, punk. You step in the ring against me, and I'm going to finish the job I should have started a long, long time ago, because you're getting underneath my hide, Horner. And I will take care of you. And something else that I'm going to take out of your hide, and that's $2,500. Money don't grow on trees, Horners. You understand me? This man can use that money a lot more than you or anybody else. And just for that, I'm taking $2,500 out of your butt.
All right, Smoky Mountain Commissioner, of course, Bob Armstrong, fine the Dirty White Boy, $2,500 for what happened last week, and that's what he was talking about, Faz. We're about ready for action right now. Let's go to the ring.
Wrestling fans, thanks for watching Smoky Mountain Wrestling on WHSV-TV3 in Harrisonburg. Smoky Mountain Wrestling is coming to Harrisonburg real soon, so watch TV3 for more details. Coming to Harrisonburg will be White Lightning and Tim Horner.
You know, it's a pleasure to be here on WHSV-TV3 here in Harrisonburg. And I tell you what, I'm looking forward to coming to Harrisonburg, Charlottesville, Stanton, anywhere Smoky Mountain Wrestling comes to your area. I'm going to be there, and I want all the good fans. It's been a long time since I've been up in that area, but I want all the fans to come out. All the little Lightning Bolt buddies who supported White Lightning for years, come on out and see us. And we'll be there with smiles on our faces.
Also on WHSV-TV3 and coming to your town soon is Ricky Morton and Robert Gibson, the Rock and Roll Express.
You know, it's been a long time since Brother and I have been to Harrisonburg. Looking forward to coming back here. Hopefully, maybe we can get a match with the Stud Stable. Yet, better than that, Jimmy Cornette, once you get your heavenly body all fired up and bring him on down there, brother.
You know, Robert, I got to say something to the fans here at Harrisonburg. You know, it's been a long time since we've been there, but, you know, they heard a lot of things that happened between myself and you. But, you see, I'm out here to apologize and say I'm sorry that, brother, we are back together now, and nothing is going to stop us. Nothing's going to stop us again, baby, because rock and roll is like that old solid gold rock and roll. It only gets better. And you're going to find out right here in Harrisonburg when we come to town, because rock and roll is here to stay. We're not here to play. We are proud to be right here at Smoky Mountain Wrestling. And another thing we're proud of is that Jimmy Cornette is around here. Just like old times, back in the saddle again. But now he's got a new team, Tom Pritchard and Stan Lane. Well, what you going to do, big boys, because rock and roll are back. The boys are back in town, and we are here to stay. So, Cornette, bring it on. Bring anybody you want to, because we are climbing that ladder to the top. And, baby, there's nobody that's going to knock us off. So be ready, Cornette. It's just like the old times. I cannot wait. You see, we're like elephants. We never forget nothing. All the things you've done to us before, Jimmy Cornette. Brother, we are coming down hard. Harrisonburg, Virginia, it's been a long time since rock and roll, baby.